Hey, yo, 1212, check it out. Welcome to From Where We Are, stories of news and culture through the lens of USC and Southern California. I'm Stefan Della Guardia, coming to you live from Studio B in USC's Annenberg Media Center.
And I'm Justin Hio. It's April 6th. On today's show, U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff comments on the Russia-Ukraine war. Is the current California drought irreversible? And Kanye West drops out of Coachella. Are people selling their tickets? Because I need one.
Yeah, me too, man. That makes two of us. All that and more from where we are. But first, these news headlines. On Tuesday, the Republican-led Oklahoma state legislature passed a near-total ban on abortion, except in cases where the pregnant person's life is endangered. Under this ban, abortion providers would face up to 10 years in prison and up to $100,000 in fines. Meanwhile, Colorado joined other left-leaning states to enact the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which cements the right to have an abortion.
The Minneapolis police officer Mark Hanneman, who shot and killed Amir Locke last month in February 2nd, will not face any criminal charges. According to reports, Hanneman was performing a no-knock raid search for Locke's cousin, who was a murder suspect at the time. But upon entering the apartment, Locke was holding a gun in self-defense when police shot and killed him. Locke's mother called her son's death an execution, prompting Mayor Jacob Frey to approve a new ban on all no-knock raids. The policy goes into effect on Friday, April 8th.
And tomorrow, I'm going to be cooking eggs in my driveway, as the National Weather Service is warning Angelenos that tomorrow's UV index level will peak at 9, meaning that people could be sunburned in just 7 to 8 minutes. Around noon, the sun's rays are expected to be the strongest, so putting on sunscreen is highly recommended.
Those were some of today's top news headlines. On day 42 of the invasion, the war in Ukraine rages on. Here's Wilco Martinez-Cachero with an update on what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, and a conversation with Congressman Adam Schiff in D.C.
Today is day 42 of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Over the last few days, images of civilians allegedly killed by Russian military forces in Bucha, a Ukrainian city 1 hour away from Kiev, have emerged. In response, President Joe Biden called for a war crime trial against Russian President Vladimir Putin. Earlier today, the United States further sanctioned Russian banks and oligarchs. These new sanctions also included measures against Putin's adult daughters. The UK and the European Union also announced sanctions targeting Russian banks and investments. In a phone call with Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Putin accused Ukraine of being quote-unquote crude and cynical regarding the images in Bucha. Hungary is one of the few countries in Europe to maintain good relations with Russia and has opposed EU sanctions on Russian oil and gas. Recently, Annenberg Media caught up with Congressman Adam Schiff of California in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago to get his thoughts on the war in Ukraine.
And we'll continue to look for ways to increase the economic pressure on Russia, as well as ways to continue to arm and fortify the Ukrainian people so they can fight for their homeland. Tragically, though, I don't really see an end in sight. Putin has just doubled down on everything, and the more he loses, the more he seems to double down. He's running into far more overwhelming resistance than he imagined, and I think that's just going to continue. I think all we can do is try to provide Ukraine with the humanitarian, economic, and military support and make sure the Russian people see the folly of what Putin has done. I think only when he gets to the point to be concerned about the survival of his regime will he change course. Unfortunately, that's where I think we are.
Schiff also addressed how the war in Ukraine might affect Joe Biden ahead of the midterm elections later this year.
I think that he has handled Russia and Ukraine pretty flawlessly. I think the way that his administration was able to rally the international community and NATO to impose these sanctions on Russia, as well as the skillful use of intelligence by declassifying a lot of information to strip Russia of any pretext and show the world this was nothing but Putin's naked aggression, was helpful in motivating countries to come together to resist it. And So I think he deserves very high marks.
That was Wilco Martinez-Cachero with an update on the Russia-Ukraine war.
California has entered its second drought in the 21st century, and it is just as serious as it sounds. Daishalin Satcher has more on the story.
California's recent drought is considered to be its worst in 1,200 years, according to the New York Times. With a reported 23% decrease in the snowpack, it is safe to say California's in for a pretty nasty wildfire season. Andrew Schwartz, a scientist at UC Berkeley's Central Sierra Snow Lab, shares more.
The drought that we're in here in California is a multiple-year drought, of course, and it's one of the most severe that we've seen in the last 1,200 years. Right now, up at the snow lab here, our snowpack still exists on the ground, but it's melting about a month earlier than it even did last year.
As you may have guessed, climate change has a thing or two to do with this. Janine Jones' work at the California Department of Water Resources focuses on this very issue.
Well, this drought is now the second drought in the current century in which we are definitely seeing impacts of climate change. California has a long history with drought. It's a normal part of our climate system. But in our prior drought of 2012 to 2016, and in this current drought, which began in 2020, we have definitely been seeing an overlay of intensified impacts due to climate change.
According to James Nockbar, a member of California's Environmental Protection Agency, we're experiencing these effects in real time.
There is awareness now that climate change is making droughts in California potentially more severe and potentially longer lasting. Climate change is also making the weather a little more variable, so we can move from a relatively wet month like last December to a very dry period like January and February of this year.
The solution to the drought and climate change are not easy to identify nor achieve. Jones stresses that this time it's going to require policymakers to step up.
It's much bigger than just the average citizen. And, you know, the thing about some of these response actions is that they take a long time to put in place. They may be politically difficult, and certainly many of them are expensive.
While changes in legislation await, experts advise that households should be more conscious about their water consumption. For Annenberg Media, I'm Daishalin Satcher.
Soy Stefan de la Guardia. We're glad you're with us for From Where We Are.
And I'm Justin Hio. It's 8 minutes past the hour. Coming up, future festival goers share their thoughts on the Coachella headline switch. And we talked to two USC admits weighing their college options. Stay with us.
Let's go.
Destination Palm Springs. The countdown to Coachella has officially begun, but not without a few hiccups.
The biggest music festival of the year is set to make its epic post-pandemic return starting next weekend. It's Coachella season! The biggest names in music, including Harry Styles, Billie Eilish, and The Weeknd, are set to hit the stage next weekend. And 2 years later, are the vibes still top tier?
I heard that for previous concerts, quote-unquote, like, the vibes were off because, like, people who usually don't go to these concerts, like, are starting to go now and they're kind of not used to, I guess, concert etiquette of, like, not pushing and stuff like that, so maybe something will be off there. But other than that, I think everybody will still have a good time, yeah.
With less than 2 weeks' notice, Sunday headliner Kanye West has backed out with no official statement as to why. Concertgoers such as freshman Momo Messerschmidt are left with no explanation.
I just want to know why. Like, what ticked him off so bad that he didn't want to do it anymore? I want to know if something happened, like, behind the scenes.
Many, like senior Nicole Antonian, wonder if West's decision to leave the Coachella stage is related to the steady stream of jarring headlines about his personal life.
You know, I'm, like, mixed because it's getting kind of hard to protect him always. Like, I feel like it's, like, a full-time job at this point, but I do understand, like, he's not really in, like, the mental
the right mental health area, if that makes sense. He's not really, like, he needs time to himself. He needs time out of the public sphere, I feel like, to just spend time on himself and feel better for himself.
However, some Coachella attendees are not upset about Kanye dropping out at all. Business administration student Ansh Tallem is still optimistic and excited for his replacement, The Weeknd and Swedish House Mafia.
When I saw that this morning, I was actually pretty excited, and I saw to that tickets were like $300 on like Vivid Seats. So that's honestly like part of the reason that I was considering going.
Starting April 15th, Coachella Weekend 1 begins and is expected to bring in 250,000 attendees. With Kanye's last-minute drop, we'll see if that remains true. For Annenberg Media, I'm Hannah Abou-El-Hajj with help from Maya Folks.
You're listening to From Where We Are. Coming up, we interview two recent USC admits for the class of 2026. You can continue listening on our YouTube live stream.
That's Annenberg Radio News on YouTube. The full version will also be available on uscannenbergmedia.com. College decision season has come. High school seniors across the nation are choosing which college to attend. Students are weighing their options the way any member of the class of 2026 would. On TikTok.
Wait, what?
We reached out to Brian Fernandez and Addie Ledbetter, who shared their admission to USC on TikTok. Okay, well, Brian, first of all, congratulations for getting into USC among other schools as well. What was your reaction when you found out that you got into USC?
It was honestly, I was very shocked. I had gotten waitlisted at one of my other schools right before USC, and they had like very similar acceptance rates and kind of like stats to get in. And so once I was waitlisted at the other school, my hopes really went down for USC. And I had met some people from USC, which like really made me fall in love with the school even more. And so when that decision came around, I was like just so excited. I couldn't believe my eyes. I had opened my decision right before a volleyball game. So I was either going to make or break that game. And I'm so glad I got accepted. It just like boosted up my spirit. And it just felt like a weight off my shoulders finding out that I got in.
What led you to apply here to USC?
USC was actually my first ranked school, but knowing the resources that it had, the location of the campus, and just how at home I felt with that campus.
Wow. Okay. Oh. Well, congrats.
What other schools are you considering?
Currently, I'm really stuck with my options being Columbia, USC, and Stanford.
Wow.
Good for you.
And what were you planning on majoring in?
I applied as a poli-sci major, but I'm also really, really interested in either doubling in journalism or minoring in journalism. Fight on, Trojan.
Hey.
Let's go. Love that. Brian, thank you again, man. Have a good one.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you once again.
So, Addie, first of all, congratulations. You are committed to USC, right?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Okay. What was your first reaction when you found out you were going to USC?
I was like, oh my God. I didn't really know. This is such a hard school to get into. I was really surprised because I was like, oh my gosh, because it was an amazing feeling. Because I was like, all that like stress and anxiety I had about where I was going next year just kind of all lifted at once. And I was really happy and my family was really happy for me.
So what led you to apply to USC?
Well, I was looking at California colleges in general because I was like, I know I need to go there next year. So when I was researching and came across USC, I saw a lot of things I liked, like interdisciplinary studies, which I am very excited for because I have a lot of different things I want to study there. Oh, I am going to major in English. That's what I got admitted into for. So also just like I visited the campus and there was a really good energy and sense of school spirit that really made me like the school.
From senior year fall semester, you told everyone, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to California. So could you elaborate on that?
It was funny because I had a cheer senior night and basketball senior night, and every time you have to say we were going to college, and I didn't know, and I was just saying, I'm going somewhere in California, you don't Just the location is ideal because that's kind of where I want to set up my life in the future, especially like the LA area, which is just that city life, that urban.
Now that you're committed to USC, what do you expect from your experience here once you get on campus?
I'm really excited for the football games. I come from a very big football family, a D1 school that has big tailgates. Really exciting to me. School spirit, it's one of my big things. I'm excited to rush in the spring too.
In terms of your application to USC, what do you think stood out on it for the admission team to admit you?
I mean, my stats are just like every other kid that got into USC. So I think it was definitely the essays. I wrote my main comment essay about ice cream and all the different ice creams I like. And I do work at an ice cream shop, and I related everything to how I'm growing as a person, and ice cream's always been a foundation for me, and it is a metaphor for really who I am as a person.
That's how you do it, y'all. Like, so if anyone's listening out there, you gotta just make it quirky, I guess.
Addie, thank you so much for your time. Can we get a fight on from you for our listeners?
Fight on!
That's all we have time for on today's From Where We Are. This show is produced by the GOATs, Paulina Cherizova, Wilco Martinez Cachero, and Meredith McCabe.
Hey, Paulina Cherizova is our technical operator, and Derek Renfro composed our theme music. We are streaming live on KXSC. Follow KXSC at kxsc.org/listen. And on YouTube at Annenberg Radio News.
Also, follow us on Instagram at Annenberg Radio and subscribe to From Where We Are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're looking for even more, be sure to download Annie, Annenberg's news app. I'm Stefan DeLaGuardia.
And I'm Justin Hio. From all of us at Annenberg Radio, wherever you are, we hope you'll join us again for
From Where We Are.